Hi, and welcome to the fourth episode of Crime City Radio. I have a bit of a cough, so I won't be doing a lot of the talking today. However, there is a lot of things to talk about.
It is. Yesterday was the day of the year when Derby players and fans worldwide sit in front of the WFTDA website for hours, pressing the reload button. The WFTDA released the June rankings, revealing which teams go to playoffs. And as we predicted, Crime City climbed 48 spots and took 30th place in the world. Amazing job, we're so proud of you. Aside from Crime City, there are four other European teams in the Division 1 playoffs. London, Stockholm, Helsinki and Glasgow. And Bear City of Berlin made it to Division 2 playoffs again this year. Great job, everyone. Now, back to Crime City. 30th place gives us an 8th seed in the Division 1 playoffs, and we'll be playing in Dallas, Texas, September 11th through 13th. The whole bracket is available on the WFTDA website, and I think it's easier to have a look at it there, so I'll just say that we start out by playing the 34-ranked Ohio Roller Girls, and if we beat them, we're on to play the world number 2, Rose City Rollers, who came heart-stoppingly close to beating Gotham at Champs last year. But we'll return to the playoffs in more detail in a later episode. If you have been listening to the podcast, you know that we've been somewhat preoccupied with rankings and the problems European teams face with underranking and having to spend a lot of money and effort going over to North America to get the points we need to be properly ranked. Just a quick look at how that works. The main issue that arises from European teams being underranked is that the strength factors of European teams aren't high enough to give the game points needed to raise the game point average and climb in the rankings. And as we talked about in the last episode, since the strength factors are derived from the game point average, the only way to actually gain enough game points is to go to North America and play teams with higher strength factors, effectively bringing points back to Europe. Now, what then do you do with those points? Well, you can either choose to only play other, more accurately ranked European teams, meaning you don't really risk losing your points, or you can also play European teams that are still underranked, letting them gain from your newly raised strength factor, since you probably won't be able to beat them with as much as the ranking implies. Basically, you do for them what the North American teams you played going over there did for you. We went to Berlin to speak to Master Blaster of Bear City's Berlin Bombshells about this. Oh, and there is some construction work in the background. So sorry for that. But here we go.
Okay, so we are sitting here with Master Blaster. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So last year, the Bombshells went to the US to play at Beach Bowl, amongst other things. And it really went your way. If you look at the March rankings and compare it to the May rankings, you gained almost like 80 spots or something. So it was quite a big deal. And it got you to playoffs and so that was awesome, of course.
Yeah.
And when teams gain a lot of ranking, some teams tend to guard their points. But you decided to accept the invitation to the WFTDA European tournament in November, knowing that things were at stake because you would play underranked teams such as Stockholm and Helsinki, which were the ones you played SAG against.
Yep.
Could you tell us about how the discussion went within the team and within your league to reach the decision?
Yeah, so it was really clear going into last season that we were underranked, which also simultaneously means that certain US teams were overranked. And while we knew that we weren't the only European team that was in that sort of position, we definitely were able, through like rankings calculations, to make sure that the games that we played were the ones that were going to get us to Division 2, which is where we felt like we were inside of WFTDA. So that whole process of like beach brawl and then getting to playoffs and then getting to championships was really successful for us. It did give us a lot of ranking points. But for us, it was also really clear that like traveling to the US three times in 1 year is A, not sustainable, and B, it was incredibly difficult for us because we paid all three trips out of our own pockets.
Yeah.
So like for a lot of people, taking that kind of trip once is a lot, and then twice is kind of crazy, and three times is really, really nuts. And because last year there was the World Cup in Toronto or in Dallas, that means that the ability to fundraise inside of roller derby was not possible because everybody was trying to make a trip to the US. And because of the way that the games were structured, we essentially hadn't played in Berlin publicly for almost a year and a half, because we also lost our public bounding venue the year before. So our presence inside of the city was significantly reduced. So there also wasn't like local fundraising that was possible. So it was just a lot of like personal investment. So when we decided to play WED, it wasn't just like ranking points, but it was like everybody's vacation time and everybody's money, like the 80,000 euros that we had spent in like personally. Yeah, it was a really big decision, but it was definitely one that like was obviously necessary for the long term of the team and then for the long term sustainability of the sport. Like the constantly going to the US isn't something that can happen, but it's also important that European teams can play each other in sanctioned games for qualification. And that only happens when everyone's appropriately ranked. So international travel is going to, and I think it should happen, but for us it was very clear that like we couldn't not accept WET. Do you know what I mean? Like we couldn't not take the points that it is that we had and make sure that everybody else was more appropriately ranked. And that was a hard decision, and there was a lot of just sort of like, well, I guess that's, it was very, it very much felt like sort of like taking one for the team,
yeah,
sort of thing. But in knowing that the sport only develops when everybody's kind of out there and willing to like look beyond themselves. You know, I mean, it's the same with the team. Like you can't build a team for the moment that you're in it. You have to build teams for, and leagues and structures for what happens beyond your personal presence in them. Otherwise things also aren't sustainable. Mm-hmm. Like I think a lot of, drama and struggles and splits and miscommunication that happens in teams and leagues happens because people are only thinking about their own personal experience inside of it. And for us, it was really important that we were looking beyond that. Like, there is something really amazing that we're creating here. And so inside of that, like, whether that means that we end up this year kind of like back where we started, that's okay. You know, like, I think it's also really important to know that when you sort of play for rankings, that it's not just about playing the games that are going to get you the best rank and bring you up as high as you can go, getting to playoffs, getting your ass handed to you and getting knocked back down, but having the rankings worldwide truly reflect the level of play, which was a decision that we made this year. Like, we could have, we played Stockholm and Helsinki again. If we had not had those two games, we would be ranked significantly higher than we are, but simultaneously that brought their rank up to where it is that they are, and they deserve to be in D1. We deserve to be in D2. Like, that's the level of play that we're at. And so while that's maybe like disappointing, making air quotes, but like maybe while that's disappointing to be like, well, we could be ranked higher, that's also disingenuous. Like, you want to play what it is that you've earned, and you want to be able to stand behind your rank and say, this is where we're at, whether it's because that's your level of play, because you're rebuilding, because of whatever. The system also only gets better when people are really honest and willing to stand behind what it is that they can do. Like, we're not interested in having a rank that's not sustainable. We want to have a rank that reflects where it is that we are. And I think that that's more or less where we're at. And so it's also, like, for us, it's also really fulfilling to be able to stand behind it and say, no, we are appropriately ranked. Even if that feels frustrating because we could have played the system better, it's not about playing the system. It's about bringing the system more legitimacy by making sure that the numbers reflect what they should.
Yeah.
Long story short.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting because I'm guessing there are teams that are more in playing the system, mm-hmm. and I mean that it brings you some disadvantage, mm-hmm. ranking wise, but morally you are
taking the high road. Yeah, I mean, I think I do truly think that the way that the system's set up, like you can play it to it, you can mess around with it and try to manipulate it to a certain extent, but at the end of the day, you have to get on the track and you have to be able to back it up. You know, like any team that's found themselves overranked in the global system, once they end up in that sort of like playoff structure, you gotta, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Like, you gotta be able to play it. And if you can't, or if you don't, you know, because sometimes teams have bad days. But if you don't, then, you know, the rest of the teams will knock you back down to where it is that you should be. And that's fair. And that's athletics. You know what I mean? Like, that's sport. So we, because of the way that our systems are set up, we don't have league structures like across the board where, you know, all of the Division II teams don't play throughout a season, all of the Division II teams to create a rank. Instead, it's based on a calculator because of the way that our sport's built. And I think that it's a really great solution for the reality that we exist in. Even if it seems mathematically unideal, it's really well suited to the way that we're built, because like all of the Division II teams worldwide or all of the Division I teams worldwide playing each other once throughout a season isn't financially possible. It's just not. And so what we have is a different system. And yeah, like ultimately things will shake out. And I think last year there was a lot of sort of like negative talk and rumors around the WFTDA ranking system and about European leagues not able to sort of like bridge this gap and get into playoff play or be able to qualify or be able to raise the rank because of the way the system was worked out. And what it meant was some financial investment and some time investment and leagues going over, but we are significantly closer right now than we've ever been before. And I think, again, it goes beyond the concept of like, this is my experience right now and I want it to be better. Like, I want my team currently to get to go to playoffs as opposed to sort of looking at it and saying like things will even out over time and that as the rankings level out, the whole system becomes a lot simpler and will become more clear.
Yeah. But for right now, a lot of European teams are going to the US, mm-hmm. and it of course takes a lot of time and money and effort. And for teams to do that, to go fetch the points mm-hmm. in the US and then come back and share them, might not really be sustainable right now. Do you have any thoughts on...
It's not... After... So last year, it was absolutely necessary. This year, it was partway necessary. And I think next year, it won't be at all. And I think that's also, again, going back to sort of that long-term vision. Like, there were 7 teams that went last year, and we all brought points back. This year there's a similar number that are going, and those points will get bought back again. I mean, Berlin didn't have to go to the US this year in order to qualify D2. No. If we had played better in our games with Stockholm and Helsinki, we wouldn't have had to go to qualify for D1. Like, because of what we did last year and because of what they did and then everybody sharing their points, like, we didn't have to make that trip. They needed to make that trip because they still had, like, Helsinki had to go to Big O. Stockholm had to go to ECDX to sort of like bring up what they weren't able to capitalize on beach brawl and their trips previously last year, but we were able to do because we made playoffs and champs.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So yeah. Like, we had the time to get those games in. They've done it. They really shouldn't have to go next year. Glasgow mm-hmm. won't have to go. And once we don't have to go and people realize they don't have to go and we can, you know, commit to playing each other here, then you'll start to see things change. Like, London has agreed to play Helsinki, you know, Stockholm, we've already talked with them about definitely playing each other next year. And like, these are sanctioned games, like,
yeah.
And finding those teams that really do have a open and long-term vision also makes sense. Like, not all teams do. But those teams, I think at a certain point, will maybe either have to like get on board or find themselves making very expensive US trips because they're not playing ball, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of like negotiation power that comes along with it and being like, no, it needs to happen here. And again, like everybody is still looking out for their rankings. Everybody is still, I don't want to say that it's like a completely like generous system where everyone's like, well, they totally don't matter. They do matter. Like competitive teams are trying to achieve something, but there's a bit of a balance. And I think that, again, like as teams also get more educated on how to crunch the numbers and work the calculator, then they'll be able to say, oh, you know, I don't, like, we don't have to give up that money, and they don't want to, if they don't have to, because we're all broke, right? So, yeah, it'll happen. It's not sustainable, but it also doesn't need to be, because it is changing, and if not next year, the year after. And when you think about, like, the growth of a global sport, like, having 4 years of having to travel is not that much, right? Considering that we hope to be around tens of 20s of 30s of years from now, like the 4 years where we all had to sacrifice a little bit, maybe feels very much like our reality, but it's, you know, right place, wrong time, something like that.
And something to have been a part of.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, we get to feel very responsible for that. And then again, like, there's some really amazing tournaments that are starting to happen in Europe, also on all levels, like not just on like the higher end levels, but the lower end levels. Like there's a lot of leagues that are turning to WFTDA for membership. Like there's a lot of really exciting things that are happening. And so as things and systems get adapted that create cohesiveness, there's all that much more potential for the interests of European voices to be brought into the WFTDA system. Like, the WFTD is a membership organization, so it does what its members, which are leagues, like, say. It's just like being in a local league. Like, the members create the league and its structures and its competitions and all of that. Like, there's no, you know, queen of WFTDA sitting up somewhere, you know, deciding what happens. It's just a membership organization. And so the more European members there are, the more European-focused WFTDA becomes. So in allowing and sort of creating motivation for more leagues to become WFTDA members, we get to start changing the face and presence and conversation that the association is having.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's everything we had to ask you. So thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Thanks for coming by.
I feel like we didn't really end that interview in a very good way, because she's saying so many smart things and we don't even really comment on them. But I think that's because we have thought a lot about ranking lately, but we haven't really thought about those things that she said. So we became a little overwhelmed, I think. But like Merle said, we have been talking a lot about the problems for European teams. But after listening to Master Blaster, it feels very hopeful and not at all as problematic as it did before. So thank you for that, Master Blaster.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like I can let go of the rankings for a while and focus on other things.
Yeah, me too. Which we will in the next episode, because that will be about Derby names and numbers. And we would like to ask all of you listening to answer some short questions. There will be a link to a form on our webpage, crimecityrollers.com/radio, and on our Twitter at Crime City Radio. We will also put it on Crime City Rollers' official Facebook page.
Yes. Excellent. So thanks again to Master Blaster for taking the time. And
to you for taking the time to listen.
Oh, and you, of course, for taking the time to speak.
Oh. All right. That's all for today.
Yeah. Bye.